Amen. Well, now that we've learned the whole thing. Colossians chapter number 2, the Bible tells us this. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," all it means is before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin, and your flesh hadn't been cut away yet, and you're dead in your sins, and then the rest of the verse says, "Hath he quickened together?" That means, that word quicken means to make alive, quickened together with him. Now, stay in your seat. Don't get excited. "Having forgiven you all trespasses." Now, don't get excited. Now, we're a Baptist church. Y'all not supposed to get excited. But I just can't help when I think about what the Lord has done for us and how before I got saved, how I was dead in trespasses and sin, and then all of a sudden the Lord came by and he performed an operation, the operation of God, and quickened me, made me alive, raised me up together with him, and all of that, in the process of all of that, having forgiven all our trespasses. Then verse 14, not only that, if that wasn't enough, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or rules and regulations, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it. When Jesus died on the cross, he nailed it down. And they took it away, or took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now I want you to notice verse 14, the last part. This is what happened, nailing it to his cross. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Good service. All Brother Rick did a good job singing, and all the people, they did a good job singing the congregation music. And Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you for our folks that are here. I thank you for our visitors that have come by our way to visit with us for whatever reason they're here. We thank you for them. Now, Lord, I pray that we're not wasting our time. I pray that we meet with you before we leave this place. Lord, we've read your word. I pray now you'd move me out of the way, God, that you would speak to hearts, speak through me, mold me and make me into what you want me to be. Get the word out like you put it in. And Lord, we'll walk out of this place victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we'll look to you, which comes our help, looking for our blessed Redeemer and the soon coming King. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here in Colossians chapter number 2, I'm just happy. I can't help it. I'm just happy. Happy to know that I'm no longer going to hell. I'm saved. I'm so saved. It's pitiful. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, and the devil can't do anything about it. And this right here says, before I got saved, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was dead. It's just a walking dead person. You were walking around. You were alive. You were breathing. But on the inside, you were just dead. You were just you didn't understand the things of God. And then one day, sitting on a church pew, Trinity Baptist Church, my dad, the preacher over there, and the pastor over there, and boy, I was sitting there under conviction. Every so often, I'd get under conviction. I'd tell Mama, I got to go to the bathroom during the preaching. And finally, she said, boy, you going to sit there? I said, Mama, I got to go. She said, well, you just have to go. You going to sit here and listen to preaching. You ain't getting up. Well, you going to listen to preaching. And I said, well, Mama, and she said, you ain't got no bathroom problem. You got a heart problem, boy. Sit down and behave. And boy, she just wouldn't let me get up and run around and run out in this, that, and the other. And boy, I had to sit there and listen. The Holy Spirit was dealing with me, making me uncomfortable, making me under conviction. And boy, one day I threw my hands up, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He brought life. He turned the lights on. Let there be light. And there was light. The Holy Spirit of God began to move on the face of the water. And there was light. I got saved, blotted out all of my transgressions, removed in the depths of the sea of a forgiveness. Faithfulness, never to be remembered against me ever again. Verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Well, in the Roman days, this is who killed the Lord Jesus Christ in the Roman days. Now, y'all don't worry, this cross weighs about 400 pounds. And in the Roman days, this is what they'd do. If you were convicted of a crime, and it was just something that you were going to spend time for, they would put you in prison, and they would take it and write it down on a sheet of paper. He done this, this, and this, and this. He's going to spend this much time in prison, this many years, this many days, this many months, and so on and so forth. And they would put it on there, and they would nail it above the prison door. Then, when you completed your time, they would take that off the prison door. They would take it to the judge, and he would stamp it, paid in full, and he would put his seal on it. And then they would give it to the prisoner that just got out of jail. And they said, you better keep this, put it in your pocket. You're going to need it. So he'd keep it, put it in your pocket. Then he'd go to Walmart. And somebody at Walmart would say, now this is in the Bible. He'd go to Walmart and somebody would say, hey, ain't you that convicted felon that spent time? He said, yeah, but. And they'd like, oh, okay, you done your time. Yes, I done my time. You see that? Leave me alone. Back up before I go to jail again. Now, he might not have said that, but you keep that in your pocket. Because, hey, you done your time, you might need that. But, hey, listen, if it was a capital offense, which means you were going to lose your life over it, then they would tack it up on the Roman cross and they would put it over the head of the individual. Matter of fact, let's just do that. Look here. We'll try this. Now, I'm a preacher, not a carpenter. This is what they'd do. Now, if I hit my thumb, y'all. So they would nail it over top of the criminal's head. And this is why they'd do that. So everybody that come by and saw who was hanging on the cross, they'd look, oh, he done that? Well, I sure don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because if I do that, boy, I'll get that, you see. See, we don't do that no more. Hey, we won't know what they've done. Put it over top of their head so everybody will know there's consequences to sin. You remember when they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross? Matthew 27, verse 37, and they set up over his head his accusation. And it was written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. They nailed that above Jesus' head because that is what he claimed. They thought it was overthrowing Caesar, and they thought it was a capital offense. And you can, if you claim to be God or you claim to be king, you're going to die. And so they crucified Jesus on the cross, and they put that over top of his head. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. And it was sort of like making fun, you know, like, hey, this is the King of the Jews. You know, we just killed the king. Oh, my friend, when Jesus Christ died, you say, what sin did he commit? He didn't commit one. Well, why did he die? He died because of your sin and my sin. You see, Jesus Christ was perfect. Never sinned one bit. But he was guilty. He was guilty. All the sin. All the sin of all from Adam all the way to the end of time, the person was placed upon him, and he was looked at in God's eyes as a sinner because you were supposed to be hanging there. But instead, Jesus said, let me do it. And he hung there. He looked like a sinner. Amen. He died like a sinner. He wasn't a sinner, but he died in your place, and now he's guilty of all the Ten Commandments. Every sin you've ever committed, he was crucified for. Now let that sink in with you just a minute. Boy, that'll lay in your lap for a second. I'm telling you. But listen, this Bible says right here, blotting out all the handwriting, the ordinances that were against us, were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My friend, when they nailed Jesus Christ to this cross, they nailed, it was more than just the Lord Jesus Christ nailed here. The Old Testament law was nailed there. Did you know in the Old Testament they used to go to church on Saturday? And when they went on Saturday, they brought a sacrifice with them when they came on Saturday. Why do we not go on Saturday no more? We go on the first day of the week because Jesus nailed the Old Testament law to the cross. You can't be held accountable for the Ten Commandments anymore. If you'll trust Christ, those Jesus Christ already paid for them. Blotting out the handwriting ordinances that were contrary to us, that were against us, and he nailed that, the condemnation of sin. You know what he nailed to the cross? He nailed to the cross the condemnation of sin. That means if you'll trust Christ and him take your place, you'll trust him, you will never be condemned. Amen. He nailed that to the cross. The curse of the law, he nailed to the cross. The corruption of the flesh, he nailed to the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, somebody help me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, he nailed the corruption of the cross. The control of the devil. Hey, get this one. Watch this one. Young people, watch this one. He nailed the control of the devil to the cross. And I know what you're thinking. You say, well, no, he ain't on the cross. Because, man, he's been bugging me all week. That's because you come up here after the Lord's done got him up. The devil's done defeated the devil, and he's up on the cross. On Monday morning, you come over here and go, devil, let me get you off here. Devil, let me help you. Devil, now. Let me do what I want to do. Now, devil, come Sunday morning, you get back up there. Now, devil, on Sundays, you get up there. Now, on Mondays, I'll let you back down. Hey, now, that's better preaching than what you're amening. Hey, and I've done it too. I hope I don't get too happy with this. You know. And the devil's up there. The Lord crucified the devil. I mean, put him up there. The control of the devil. Hey, if you'll keep the devil up there, he won't bother you as bad. The devil comes up and says, hey, I remember your pocket. Devil, leave me alone. Back up, devil. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are not liking that. You like it better when the devil gets off of there. Because you can do what you want to do. I done hit a snag. And anytime you hit a snag, you keep circling till you get the stump up. And farmers taught me that. You got to get that stump up or you can't plow. Hey, y'all better keep the devil up there. Some of you liking him too. I like him better down. Well, you sure are. Hey, blotting out the handwriting ordinances that were against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My friend, listen, everybody in this room, we all have issues. Now, we may not want to admit it, but we all have hurts and habits and hang-ups. Everybody in this room. Now, don't get quiet because, you know, I know we dress up on Sunday and we look real good, but if we could peel all of this back, everybody in this room, including the preacher, has hurts and hang-ups and habits that we have issues that we don't want anybody else to know about. Let me give you three fast things. Number one, there is a past that haunts us. There's a past that haunts us. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing's for sure, ladies and gentlemen, you can't change your past, but your past can change you if you let it. Your past can change you. You can't change your past. It's already done, over with. You might, you know what, you say, preacher, what I need to do? Nail your past to the cross, lay it at the foot of the cross, get it under the blood, go home, forget about it. Get your past under the blood. Your past is on your trail. The devil's trying to defeat you. Every time you raise your hand and try to shout and get into service, he said, oh, I remember your faults and failures, your fears. Everybody in this building's got failures. Everybody in this building's got fears. Everybody in this building. But ladies and gentlemen, every time the devil comes up and reminds you of your past, you remind the devil of his future, and his future is worse than your past, and you just remind the devil where he's going, nail it to the cross, get it under the blood, and forget about it. Stop letting the devil bring up your past. If you got it under the blood, keep it under the blood, and if God don't remember it, why should you? Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Hallelujah. So there's healing for your past. There's help for your present. There's hope for your future. Maybe over in this section, there's a brutal past. Over in the middle section, there's a broken past. Maybe over in this section there's a bleeding past. But over here at this cross right here, there's a blotted out past. Hallelujah. Blotted out, never to be remembered ever again. My friend, you may have, you say, preacher, I've done this, I've done that. I've had an abortion. Hey, get it nailed to that cross. Get it under the blood. You say, I've messed up and I've divorced and I've messed up. My friend, don't you let nobody tell you that divorced people are second-class citizens. Everybody in this room's messed up sometime in our life. And let me tell you what, get it nailed to the cross, get it under the blood, get God to forgive you, and move on with your life. Amen. So I used to be an alcoholic. Get it under the blood. Nail it up there. Nail it. Say, boy, I used to do dope and I used to be under the controlled substance, this, that, and the other. Hey, nail it to that cross. Nail it in there. Hey, and look, don't nail it in there. When you nail it in there real good. So you can't come back up here and go. Let me get that out and take it back. Oh, a lot of people just nail it just good enough till it, and then, hey, they go get it back. Hey, don't let the devil bring it up. Get it in there. Nail it in there real good so it can't be brought back up. Amen. Hey, listen. I'm telling you this. There is a God in this book. There's a Savior in this Bible that says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God not only forgives your past, he has the ability to forget your past. God can forget it. You need to forget it. Don't let the devil bring it up. Just keep your paper with you and say, devil, it's paid in full. It's under the blood. It's already been paid. Jesus Christ has already paid it. He gave me my little ticket. It's paid in full. Devil, go somewhere and leave me alone. There's past. Your past will haunt you. Number two, there's problems that will hinder you. Boy, I hope nobody in here finds out some of the stuff I've done. Lord, they'll be looking for another preacher. You say, really? What is it? I ain't telling you. It's nailed. You say, what have you done? Your past? I don't remember. You say, I bet God remembers. Well, go ask him. I don't remember. He said, God, you remember what he did? Nope, I don't remember. You say, but God remembers everything. I know it, but sometimes he chooses not to remember. If he can do anything, he can choose not to remember. Hallelujah. Some of you ought to be shouting. Some of you ought to be throwing song books right now. The past that's going to haunt you, the problems that hinder us. There's hurts and habits and hang-ups and things in your life that you don't know what you're going to do with them. But I'm telling you this, the devil's trying to get you to quit. But God says, get it under the blood. Get your problems under the blood. It seems like maybe addicted to this and addicted to that. I got a habit with this and you're getting used to the dark and you're getting used to this. My friend, young people, listen to me. Be careful. Be careful, parents, what you let your kids watch through these eyes and the television. I'm telling you, you can take your kid to the doctor. He can put a cast on a broke leg, and it'll be fixed in about 6 weeks. But I'm telling you this, it's hard to renew a mind that has been saturated with filth. Amen. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm saying it's a harder process to renew the mind than it is a broke leg. Amen. You better listen. Bible says, wherefore seeing we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race. Some of us have got excuses. We've got excuses for everything. You know what you need to do? Bring your excuses. Nail your excuses. Excuses for everything. Amen. Amen. Well, I felt another. I got to get this dump up too. Excuses for everything. Preacher, you just don't know where I've. Listen, I don't want to know. Don't care. You say, you don't care. No, friend, listen. You don't need to care. I can't believe. Hey, if you will get to. Say, preacher, you don't know how my family hurt me and all this, that, and the other. Listen, what you need to do today, Lord, you take care of that. You paid for that. You done that. I'm not going to remember it no more. Lord, you take care of it. I'm nailing it to your cross. Please take it away. Blot out the handwriting, the ordinances that are against me, and I don't want to remember it no more. Hey. Some of you letting the devil rule your life, and the devil is getting you from serving God just because something's your problems you've had. Well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. We'll start you a Christian home and change the circle around. Well, my so-and-so is an alcoholic. I guess I'll be one too. No, you don't have to be. Nail her on up there to the cross and change the thing around. You say, preacher, boy, I tell you what, you're rubbing me the wrong way. Well, tell the cat to turn around. Some need to bring your habits and your hang-ups and your hurts. There's something in your life right now that's hindering you from serving God. Is there something that's standing between you and God? You just can't get past it. It's keeping you from serving God. It's keeping you from enjoying your salvation. You got, listen, maybe you got a past. Everybody in here's got one. And you don't have to share your past. Look, just share, hey, I got saved, such, 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 and it's under the blood. But what all you've done? I don't remember. God don't remember either. You say, I know you've done some stuff. Oh, I remember when you.
Amen.
I know when you.
Amen.
Somebody help me. Past that haunts us, problems that hinder us. But then, number 3, and I'm done, it's 5 and 12. There's people that hurt us. If you've lived any length of time, somebody's going to hurt you. People get hurt. People hurt other people. And you need to determine that you're not going to let that stop you from serving God. Bring it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. People that hurt you, they'll cause bitterness. And bitterness is resentment and hatred that is caused by pain. Bitterness tastes bitter. Bitterness is when you drink the poison that you want the other person to die from. Bitterness is when you drink the poison that you want the other person to die from. Bitterness will destroy you, and it will destroy your relationship. And if you got bitter over something that's happened to you in your past, if you don't get it to the cross, if you don't nail it to the cross, you will carry it over to every relationship you have from here on out, and it'll destroy you. You won't never have a good relationship because you're carrying that from past, from problems, from people that hurt you. You need to get rid of it this morning. Get it to the cross. Let Him blot it out. Let Him throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and never remember it ever again. You've been hurt by a family member, a friend, you better let it go. It'll cause deep scars. Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen.
My friend, you better get it. All your sins, Jesus Christ, over top of His head, all my sins is up there. Jesus paid the debt. He paid the debt He didn't owe because I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But watch, I got to tell y'all this. 1 John 1:9 says this, and I'm getting ready to close. Mark's getting ready. You say, why'd you do that? He was asleep. No, I'm kidding. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. And to cleanse. Now, I'm getting ready to close, but watch this. You get a speeding ticket, and they give you a speeding ticket, and you got to go to court and you stand before the judge, say, I'm guilty, whatever, whatever. And they give you that, all right, pay this fine, $50, what, because you didn't have your seatbelt on, that's $10. You go into court, you pay the little clerk, and they give you a receipt where you've paid it. But that's been paid. It's been forgiven.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Don't miss this one. We're fixing to throw songbooks all over this building. You can go in there after it's paid, a year later, and it's still in the computer. It's still in the computer. I thought I paid that. You did pay it. I thought it was forgiven. You have been forgiven. Still in the computer. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. And to cleanse. Let me read Colossians 2 again. Hallelujah. Blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way.
Amen.
Let me give that to you in the Greek. And took it out of the computer. So, all your sins, Jesus died for them, paid in full. Boom. Then He. And then. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got nothing in my pocket. I ain't got nothing in my pocket to show anybody. Yes, you do. Y'all ain't got it yet. That says Jesus Christ on it, in red.
Amen.
Now see, if all He done was forgave you, when you got to heaven, somebody could still punch it up in the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, I felt like throwing a hammer right there. But when you get to heaven, wait, where'd my paper go? You get to heaven. You die, you go up there. Yes, can I help you? Now wait, don't shout yet. You finish shouting in a minute. Don't shout on this one. It gets better than this one. And they say, all right, come on in, you forgiven sinner. But if he takes it out of the way, and now I die, how can I help you? Oh. Come on in, son. You talking to me? Yeah, come on in, son. You are my son, ain't you? Yeah? You mean there ain't nothing in the computer? No, he ain't never done nothing. I'm feeling Pentecostal now, I'm telling you. Look here. You say, that ain't true. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
So now when you knock, you ain't going to heaven just a forgiven sinner.
Right.
God don't remember all that. You going in as a son.
Right.
You're walking in as if it was Jesus himself.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let that sink down in there. Yes, I'm a forgiven sinner, but it ain't in the computer.
Amen.
Not only has it been paid because he paid it, but he said, we're going to throw that out of the way, take it out of the computer, hit the delete button, and when you get ready to go to heaven, when you take your last breath down here, just put that in your pocket, and when you get to heaven, just pull that out. And he'll receive you in. You'll get to go in like it was me going up there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think the Bible says something like, heirs of God, joint heirs with. Now, folks, if y'all like me, the devil brings up a lot of stuff. And some of you got a lot of hurts, you got a lot of hang-ups, you got a lot of habits. And I'm not trying to get you to do anything you want to do, but you just need to bring that all down here at the altar. You've been hurt? A bunch of people have. And I'm not downplaying that. Listen, I'm not downplaying that. You say, well, Bridget, don't care. No, it's not that I don't care. I got my own. You get them to that cross. Nail them up there. And throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And let God have it.
Right.
And stop torturing yourself with it.
Amen.
Stop torturing yourself with bitterness. Stop torturing yourself with all of the different problems and hurts and people's done to you and this, that, and the other. Get it under the blood. Right. Let him give you his righteousness and forget all about it. Don't let anything stop you from serving God.
Amen.
Mark, I want you to sing that first verse. If you need to come, you need to come to this altar right now. He's finna sing a song. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Get it under the blood this morning. Would you?